2 Peter chapter 1, we're going to look at verses 1 through 11. 2 Peter chapter 1, verses 1 through 11. Bible says, Simon Peter, a servant and apostle of Jesus Christ, to them that have obtained like precious faith with us through the righteousness of God and our Savior, Jesus Christ. Grace and peace be multiplied unto you through the knowledge of God and of Jesus our Lord. According as his divine power hath given unto us all things that pertain unto life and godliness, through the knowledge of him that hath called us to glory and virtue, whereby are given unto us exceeding great and precious promises, that by these ye might be partakers of the divine nature, having escaped the corruption that is in the world through lust. And besides this, giving all diligence, add to your faith virtue, and to virtue knowledge, and to knowledge temperance, and to temperance patience, and to patience godliness, and to godliness brotherly kindness, and to brotherly kindness charity. For if these things be in you and abound, they make you that ye shall neither be barren nor unfruitful in the knowledge of our Lord Jesus Christ. But he that lacketh these things is blind and cannot see afar off, and hath forgotten that he was purged from his old sins. Wherefore the rather, brethren, give diligence to make your calling and election sure. For if ye do these things, ye shall never fall. For so an entrance shall be ministered unto you abundantly into the everlasting kingdom of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Father, I thank you for tonight. I thank you for your word. You know more than I do my inability to proclaim it, but I just pray that you would speak through me. I pray that you would penetrate your word into our hearts and that we would be more changed into your image by what you've done for us, Lord. May we give all diligence of our lives to you, Lord. I just ask this in Jesus' name. Amen. So, I'm going to share a little story with you that if you were at Men's Retreat last year, you probably heard. But I see that it would be fitting for what I'm going to go through tonight. So when I was around 14 years old, there was an elderly lady at our church, the church that we had went to, and she offered me this old motorcycle. It had belonged to her husband who had passed and hadn't been in running condition for quite some time. And the cost was right for a 14-year-old, right around the price of free. So it seemed like a great idea to pick this thing up, take it home, and man, I was going to restore it to back to its original beauty. So this bike was a 1975 CB404 Super Sport. One of the main focal points of the bike had this 4-into-1 chrome exhaust that just looked just beautiful. At least it did in original condition. So I remember going over to her house. I remember going over to my dad, and we loaded it up. I remember getting in the trailer and getting it home. And, man, I remember these images just flooding my mind of just what this thing was going to look like, what this thing was going to be back to its original beauty. For a 14-year-old, I was just flooded with this excitement. And just thinking about this chrome polish and this Honda red tank on the gas tank, right? So something my dad has always said when it comes to motorcycles, anytime I've wanted to dig into one or dig into a project, he's always said, you've got to get the book. Got to get the book for it, for anything for that matter, whether it's a car, motorcycle, or a manual for anything. You got to get the book for it. So at some point in time, ordered the book for this bike, and the thought was to use it as a roadmap to figure out why this thing wasn't running, to be able to dig into it. But it seemed that I was more concerned with what the finished product was going to be than what the bike was going to look like down the road. And so I kind of ordered the book, and it seemed that I just kind of tossed the idea aside. Right, that idea of got to dig into this book to understand, that kind of just became an afterthought and something that was kind of on the back burner. I don't remember exactly what led to the decision, but probably under the direction of my dad, was that I had to start digging into the motor. So what did I start doing? I started taking things apart. Right? Remember I pulled one of the engine covers off, I could grab the crank, and I could spin the crank about 360 degrees, and it'd be stopped with just this thump. I could take it, spin it 360 degrees the other way, and stop with another thump. And that's not good. So, but those words kind of rang in the back of my head, you got to get the book. You got to get the book. But my eyes kind of turned back to the bike, back to the chrome. So I began polishing the chrome, getting all that rust off, cleaning the frame, taking more parts off the bike, and cleaning it up. And I just thought in my head, man, this thing was going to look awesome. I had this image of this old classic motorcycle. It was just going to look wonderful down the road someday. And then I just kind of daydream and look at it. But then I go back over to the bench and I just kind of look at that engine and I'd spin that crank and I'd hear that thunk. I'd spin it the other way and go thunk. And just kind of think in my head, I don't really know what's going on inside this engine, but so I'm gonna fix it someday. But oh, look at that chrome. You know? I remember getting the manual, I remember kind of scanning through it, but never really taking the time to look deep inside of it, to study, to understand what was going on inside of that engine. I began to be more concerned and more concerned with what it was going to look like down the road, that someday when it will be finished. And I was more in love with the idea, you could say, of the finished product than the hard work and effort required to obtain that finished product. So again, I'd polish that chrome, and I'd spin that crank back and forth, going clunk, clunk. And you know, as I was kind of thinking about this, I think the same can be for our lives as Christians. We can easily kind of just tend to rely on, we have faith, the fact that I'm saved, I have my golden ticket, but we can tend to be more concerned with an image that maybe we have in our mind of what the Christian life is supposed to look like, and we begin to be unconcerned with the heartbeat of our daily relationship with Christ. And we can tend to polish the chrome of our outer lives, all the while inside we're just knocking back and forth, just going clunk, clunk, clunk. And that engine's not firing. And with those words of my dad always saying, you got to get the book, well, this is our book. The Word of God is our book, and we need to be in it. We gain deep knowledge of that which our hearts pay close attention to, do we not? So in 2 Peter here, we have here the apostle calling himself a servant, right? And he's writing to those who have obtained a like precious faith, a faith of equal standing. And he's writing to fellow Christians. And these fellow Christians have obtained this like precious faith by the righteousness of God and our Savior Jesus Christ. We are told in Galatians 3:11, but that no man is justified by the law in the sight of God, it is evident. For the just, the righteous, shall live by faith. So we are to live by faith as Christians. So here, Peter starts out this epistle by assigning great value to faith, right? He's calling it precious faith. And we all know, if we're in Christ, that our ability to obtain it only comes from the righteousness of God and our Savior, Jesus Christ, right? That's the foundation. We know this if we're in Christ. So Christians are to live by faith, aren't we? We're to live by faith. We can all agree on that. And the Word of God is most importantly, the most most important thing we can pay attention to apply to our lives. But there's more than just having faith. There's more than just being saved and having faith and then just kind of going on with our lives with this idea of I have my golden ticket that's latched onto me. Now I'm going to cruise through my life. So listen to what Peter says here in verse 2. He says, grace and peace be multiplied to you through the knowledge of God and Jesus our Lord. Through the knowledge. Knowledge is stressed here as the means by which grace and peace are multiplied in the believer's life. So one commentator wrote that the Gnostic deviationists exalted knowledge of this day prior to this. They exalted knowledge as being superior to faith. And so in reply, the Orthodox writers stress the importance of Christians to acquire epignosis, which is precise and correct knowledge, full knowledge, as what Peter's saying here, in order to combat that heresy. So such knowledge is never merely speculative, as was the Gnostic variety, but it springs from a personal relationship with an experience of God in Jesus our Lord. So the world in that day put high value on knowledge. It kind of sounds familiar. Our world today puts high value on knowledge. We see that all around that us in the universities. We see that through science. We see that through statistics. And these aren't bad things. They're useful things or good things. But as we know, Paul wrote to the Corinthians, knowledge puffs up. It can puff up. We live in a world where knowledge is everywhere. And we have so much knowledge that we could argue that it's kind of actually dumbing us down. Kind of agree with that, right? We can find pretty much anything we need to know right out from our phones. I can look it up. I can find it out. All that knowledge is right there, so I don't have to put in that effort into my mind, right? And we've all heard that example before. We all are aware of that. But what seems to be lacking is wisdom. So we have so much knowledge that we're lacking a lot of wisdom. And so we can tend to think that, you know, oh, I can just kind of remember a snippet of something, but if I forget it, I'll just look it up on my phone, right? You ever been in a situation where you're going somewhere, you're driving somewhere, and you kind of know the general area of where you're going, but you can't remember the exact turns or the exact directions? And if you have reception, you're like, well, I'll Google Map it. I'll MapQuest it. I'll be fine. Like, I'll figure that out. And it's kind of that our pride will get in the way of we have this idea that, well, I know where I'm going, but if I forget, then I'll just look it up on my phone. So we're not putting forth that effort to understand really where we're going. The fear of the Lord is the beginning of knowledge, but fools despise wisdom and instruction. A fool despises wisdom and instruction. Think about that. Remember, it's a fool who said in his heart that there is no God. The fear of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom, and the knowledge of the holy is understanding, as Proverbs also. We gain deep knowledge of that which our hearts pay close attention to. Verse 3 of 2 Peter 1. According as his divine power hath given unto us all things that pertain unto life and godliness, through the knowledge of him that hath called us to glory and virtue, whereby are given unto us exceeding great and precious promises, that by these ye might be partakers of the divine nature, having escaped the corruption that is in the world through lust. Wow. Like, so Peter's writing those readers that it's by God's divine power through faith in Christ that he has granted to us all these things that pertain to life and godliness. He has granted to us precious, great, and very, very great promises. And these promises are from God. God cannot lie. We see that in Titus 1, 2, in hope of eternal life, which God, that cannot lie, promised before the world began. These are promises from God himself, so that through them we may become partakers of the divine nature. The very same divine power that grants us this allows us to be partakers of this very same divine nature. Not only do we have the book, but if we're in Christ, we're granted the ability from the divine power to understand and obey the book. Peter goes on to write here, having escaped the corruption that is in the world through lust. So we can escape from the corruption that is in the world through sinful desire, in which we all have. We all know we're born as sinners. We're born with that sinful desire in our hearts. But we can escape that. And how do we do that, though? Well, by being built up in the knowledge of these things that pertain to life and godliness. By being a partaker of the divine nature by his divine power. So, you know, I'm sure we've all met the people, or maybe we've been there ourselves. I'm sure I have. And we say, well, that's great. You know, I have faith in Christ. Yeah, I know that it's by his righteousness and not my own. And it's really cool. I'm a partaker of that divine power. But man, you can really still struggle with the lure of sin, or really still struggle with the desire to dig into the scriptures and understand. And you just don't quite understand how I can be a partaker of all these things and what to do about it. And how do I get them? And I think what we forget is there's action required on our part. There's action required on our part rather than just having this faith that's latched onto us as we go through our lives. Verse 5 of 2 Peter 1 here says, and besides this, giving all diligence. So he's saying, for this very reason, make every effort, give all diligence. Add to your faith virtue, and to virtue, knowledge, and to knowledge, temperance, and to temperance, patience, and to patience, godliness, and to godliness, brotherly kindness, and to brotherly kindness, charity. Remember, there's action required on our part as Christians. There's action required. It's active obedience. Obedience is not optional in any consideration of Christian safety. So far here, we've seen that Peter has stressed that knowledge is the means by which grace and peace can be multiplied in the believer's life. We all want a life of peace and grace, don't we? Who doesn't want that? But what is it in your life that you've been gaining knowledge of? What is it that you've been putting forth effort for? To say that the last few months have been very eventful would kind of be an understatement. But are we giving more attention to what's going on around us because of current events? with trying to stay up with what's going on with the virus, what's going on in the political spectrum, what you agree with, what you don't agree with, so you can state the what and the why you stand where you stand, why you want to take a stand. So all the while, we're putting forth this effort to understand what's going on around us, but we forget, it's easy to forget, that we are to give all diligence first to these things written here in 2 Peter. If we don't give our full attention first to what the scriptures say, then we will not be able to give a biblical answer for the what or the why we stand where we stand in light of current events, or any event for that matter. We must make every effort in our lives to look at everything through the lens of Scripture. I'll say that again. We must make every effort to look at everything through the lens of Scripture. And that is so much easier said than done, but we have the ability to do that through Christ. And we do that by gaining knowledge of God's Word, by reading it, by searching it, and by applying it. It's all too easy just to be blind, just to rest blindly in the fact that we have our faith and not be built up in it. And to think, well, I'm saved. I'm good. Again, I have my golden ticket. I'll just polish my chrome. I'll dress nice. I'll comb my hair. And then we get distracted what's going on around us. Remember, the devil is prowling around like a roaring lion, just seeking someone to desire, anyone to desire, to devour, excuse me. But how will you stand against him? How will you not be blinded by the wolf that's clothed in sheep's clothing? Remember, there's obedient action required on our part. We are to give all diligence, to make every effort to supplement our faith with virtue, or goodness, rather, and virtue with knowledge, and knowledge with temperance. Since God alone can give the power to self-control, self-control will be acquired only as one's knowledge of him increases. And temperance with patience, and patience with godliness, and godliness with brotherly kindness, and brotherly kindness with charity. Can you look in your own life and see that all these things are increasing? I know when I examine mine, I really don't see what I would like to see every day. But we must be reminded. We must be reminded by his divine power. We actually have the ability to put our effort into these things through him, through Christ. We gain deep knowledge of that which our hearts pay close attention to. Verse 8 says, "For if these things be in you and abound, they make that you shall neither be barren nor unfruitful in knowledge of our Lord Jesus Christ." So Peter is saying that if you are making every effort towards these things, you're giving all diligence, and if they are yours and if they are increasing, they will keep you from being ineffective and unfruitful in the knowledge of our Lord Jesus Christ. Remember, these things will only be acquired as our knowledge of him increases, as our knowledge of the truth of the Word of God increases. You know, that bike that I had years ago was never going to get running just by me polishing the chrome or cleaning the frame or just staring at it at the bench. Nothing was ever going to happen. What was needed for me was to open up that manual, to understand it, to study it, to maybe get some help and understand what was going on in the components of an engine, to understand what was making it fire, what was making it not fire, so I could fix the problem. But I never did that. Look at verse 9 here. This is really the sobering point, to me at least. It says, "But he that lacketh these things is blind and cannot see afar off, and hath forgotten that he was purged from his old sins." How? That should really make your ears perk up. Should it not? The ESV translates this verse this way. It says, "For whoever lacks these qualities is so nearsighted that he is blind, having forgotten that he was cleansed from his former sins." So if you lack these things, faith, virtue, knowledge, temperance, patience, godliness, brotherly kindness, charity, if I'm lacking these things, that means I am so nearsighted that I'm blind. What does that mean? Well, if you're nearsighted, it means that you can only see what's really in your near vicinity, right? What's really going on in your little bubble, your little realm of influence, if you should could say. But what does being blind mean? It's pretty self-explanatory. It means you can't see. There's nothing, nada, zilch. You can't see anything. In other words, it may be that you're just so self-consumed that we decide that we just don't have the time to put in that kind of effort to not be blind, to put in that effort to have more knowledge of these things. But don't you want a life of grace and peace? I'd like a life of grace and peace that is multiplying. That's what the scriptures say. It's multiplying. And I'm not real good at math, but multiplying seems to me to mean more and more, increasing, abundant. And if you're like me, it can be easy to kind of get down in the dumps about things going on around our lives. It can almost be depressing. So what is it that you're turning to? What is it that our hearts are turning to? And often we can be tempted just to turn our mind off to everything going on around us. Like, well, you know what? This is too much. I'm just done. I'm going to tune out. I'm tuning in to what makes me happy, what tickles, you know, my ears, and I'm just going to keep going through my life. And we can turn to a hobby. We can turn to a certain sin. Oftentimes the things we turn to find so-called peace aren't sinful in and of themselves, but it's the fact that we may be giving our allegiance to these things over the Word of God, over Christ. That's when that becomes sinful. Remember, we gain deep knowledge of that which our hearts pay close attention to. True grace and true peace is multiplied to us only by increasing our knowledge of the truth. Remember, Jesus said, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man cometh unto the Father but by me. Jesus is the way, the truth, and the life. Jesus is the way. And sometimes we're just tempted to think that, or believe that, we can't understand what the Word of God says. And that, you know, the effort we just can't really do. Whether you realize it or not, though, you're putting effort towards something, towards knowledge of something, whether the depth of that is real deep or real shallow. But is that effort guided by wisdom, and is it directed towards the Word of God? We are to give all diligence to prioritize this effort in our daily lives, in our daily lives, to open up the Scriptures, to open up the Word of God, to read what it says and apply it to our lives and let our light shine forth in this dark world. And that's probably more important now ever than in any of our lives. Verse 10, wherefore the rather, brethren, give diligence to make your calling and election sure. For if ye do these things, ye shall never fall. For so an entrance shall be ministered unto you abundantly into the everlasting kingdom of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. So if you lack these things, you're blind, having forgotten that you were cleansed from your former sins. But if you do these things, you shall never fall. This is what the Word of God says. For so an entrance shall be ministered unto you abundantly into the everlasting kingdom of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Are those not beautiful words? You know, I never got that old bike running. I never really dug into that owner's manual. Never put anything back together. In fact, I ended up selling it to a friend of my dad, and I think it was in a box of parts. I just sold it over like that. Never put it back together. But that chrome was polished. So again, in the case of that bike, my heart was more focused on the knowledge of what this bike could look like, what it could be. And that's kind of what I put my effort towards. I kind of felt I knew about motorcycles. I had been around them my whole life at that point in time. I knew what bikes looked like. I knew makes and models and years. But I had no understanding of what went on inside of that engine. And I fear often we as professional Christians, we can be comfortable with the fact that we think we know what we think we know. We can think, I was raised in the church. I've been in the church. I've heard the Word of God preached. I know what the Bible has to say. But really, going on with life with having zero understanding of what our own personal daily relationship with our Lord is supposed to look like. And because we don't practice it, we say we listen to sermons, we listen to Christian music, we talk the talk, but do we walk the walk? I want to close and look at verses 12 and 13, which says, wherefore, I will not be negligent to put you always in remembrance of these things, though ye know them, and be established in the present truth. Yea, I think it meet, as long as I am in this tabernacle, to stir you up by putting you in remembrance. Peter wrote here to remind of these things. He was bringing up the importance of these things. But why was he writing to remind them? Because we forget. We're human. Our flesh can forget. and we get distracted and consumed with selfish pursuits of things that this life has to offer, that, again, many are not bad in and of themselves, but is that what we're giving our full allegiance to? And again, what Pastor Peter preached this morning of what example we're setting forth for our children, what, you know, monkey see, monkey do, what kind of example are we setting forth for the people at work? You know, do the people at work look at me and say, "Yeah, man, Braylon, he sure likes motorcycles. By the way, he goes to church." Or is like, "Man, Braylon, he still has a lot to say about the Bible. I think he rides." But, you know, just kind of that mindset of what do people in our spheres know about us? What do they see that's important in our lives? We're supposed to be the salt of this world. We're supposed to be the light in darkness. You know, Vance Havner once wrote, he said, "If the gospel isn't real, then nothing matters. But if the gospel is real, then nothing else matters." So what is it in your life that you are gaining knowledge of? What is it in my life that I'm putting effort to gain knowledge of? What are we giving all diligence to gain understanding of? And are we giving full diligence to gain more understanding and knowledge of what it is to be a daily follower of Jesus Christ? So in closing, you got to get the book. You got to read the book. And you got to apply the book. And as the text here says, that starts out with faith, with virtue, knowledge, temperance, patience, godliness, brotherly kindness, and charity. Father, I thank you for today. I thank you for your goodness. I thank you for your word. I thank you for the ability we have to meet here tonight. I just ask that your word would penetrate our hearts, Lord, that we would seek to live for you when nobody else is looking, Lord, and that our hearts would be drawn to you, Lord. I just ask this in Jesus' name. Amen.